Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Nun, and we will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us K'maseu B'chol, Kach Maseu B'Shabbos, the same way we performed all of the avoida of the Nisuch HaMayim on during the weekday of Sukkahs, we would perform it when Shabbos. Just one exception, says the Mishnah. El Shahir Mamalam Erev Shabbos, Chovish Azov. They would take a gold pitcher on Erev Shabbos to fill up. Sheinim Kudeshes. And they would be careful that this gold pitcher was not a Klisharis. The reason being, because if it were a Klisharis, then whatever is in a Klisharis and is left overnight becomes disqualified because of Lina. And then we would not be able to use that water on the morning when we wanted to bring the Nisuch HaMayim. The Gemara now will focus on what circumstances does Lina affect something left in the Klisharis. The Gemara mentions two issues. One is that for Lina to become effective, we have to have the prescribed amount of liquid or whatever item in the keli. If we will not have the amount required, then lina cannot be effective. If, says the Gemara, lina is a concern in filling up the pitcher, filling up the klisharis, it must be that there is a amount of water required to be drawn for Nisuch HaMayim. Another factor is ein lina only with das. Only when you intend to sanctify the item in the klisharis can lina be an issue. If you did not intend to sanctify the item in the klisharis, then lina would not be effective. Says the Gemara, Vamai, why do we have to go out of the way to use a keli, which is not kaidish, nice sibim kodeshes? Why don't we just bring it in a keli that is kaidish and bring more than the required amount, or not have intention that what I'm putting into the keli should become kaidish? Omaziri, Seiri says, Kesavar, because the Tan of our Mishnah holds, ain't shir l'mayim, there is no maximum amount, according to the way most Rishonim learn, that has to be put in. So there's no issue that I should put in a different amount than required, put in more than required, and therefore not be subject to the concept of lina. So most Rishonim say that Ziri is teaching us, when we say ein shir l'mayim, there is no maximum amount how much water should be drawn, but there is a minimum amount. What is the minimum amount? 3 loigim. However, the Rishonim that learn that when the Gemara says ein shir l'mayim, the Aruch HaNer says that's the way Tosfos holds, there is no minimum amount either. There is no required amount midaraisa how much water had to be used for the Nisuch HaMayim. Furthermore, the Tan of our Mishnah will hold the klisharis mekatshin shloim edas. Even if one did not have intention what he's putting into the klisharis, that it should become kaidish, it still automatically becomes kaidish. However, the Rosh says that's only if he did not have any intention that it should become kaidish. The fact that it was put into a klisharis is mekadish the water in the klisharis. However, says the Rosh, if he specifically had intention that it should not be kaidish, then agrees the Rosh that it would not be kaidish. So therefore, once the water is put into a klisharis and it's left overnight, if so belina, it becomes disqualified because of lina, and therefore on Erev Shabbos, instead of putting the water into klisharis, it was put, as the Mishnah taught us, into a golden pitcher that wasn't a klisharis. Tosfos discusses a number of issues. One issue Tosfos discusses, since on Friday when they were collecting the water, it was not yet the time for Nisuch HaMayim. Nesach Mayim would only be required Shabbos morning. It should not be subject to Lina. It should not be subject to Kiddush because it's not yet the Zman. So Tosfos says that since we find that this Avoida of drawing the water is not really considered an Avoida, the proof being that it doesn't require a Kayin, it doesn't require Big Day Kahuna, so therefore the Halacha is that the regular dinim, that when something is or is not subject to becoming Kaidish and the Klisharis, are not relevant. Another question Tyson discusses, the way Rav Chaim Brisker explains the question, is that why isn't there an issue of Yotzei, that when the Klisharis is taken out of the Azara, anything that's put into the Kalim automatically becomes disqualified because it's outside the Azara. So Tosfos answers, as long as an item was never brought in to the Azara, it's not subject to the concept of Yotzei, of being taken out of the Azara. Something being outside the Azara is only if it was once in the Azara and then removed from the Azara. This water was drawn from the Shiloyach, was never in the Azara, so the issue of Yotzei is not relevant to it. The Achronim, the Al-Khanar, asks that why doesn't the Gemara give a different approach how to avoid the problem of putting the water in the Klisharis and then not becoming disqualified by Lina. He says, the Gemara says in many places in Shas that if something is left on the Mizbeach, then it's not subject to Lina. So why don't they just fill up a Klisharis with water and put it on the Mizbeach? So he answers that this halacha, if by putting it on the Mizbeach, the water would become affected by the smoke on the Mizbeach. And certainly that's not the type of water one would want to use for Nisach HaMayim, and that's why it's not a practical approach. The Chibina Rav says that this halacha that the Gemara says many times, that something that's left on the Mizbeach is not subject to Lina, is not L'chatchila. It's not something that we want to rely on and work with L'chatchila. It's only if that is what happened to have been the case, then it's not subject to Lina. Therefore, says the Chibina Rav, the Gemara did not give that as an approach. The Migdash David asks, the why, when the water was drawn, did they not have specific intent, like Lei Bez de Masna, we have that concept many times, that it should remain chulin, and therefore, if it remains chulin, it would not be subject to Lina. So the Stipel answers that if we had begun with water that was owned by a specific individual, so then we could say Lei Bez de Masna, that it should remain in the Rishus of that individual and not come into the Rishus of Hegdish. However, says the Stipler, the water drawn from the Shiloyach was from a Hefker source. Hefker source, as soon as that water was put into the Klisharis, it automatically becomes Kodesh. Chizkiah gives a different approach. He says, Klisharis emekanshim el medas. They only become Kodesh with explicit intent. So just because water was put into the Klisharis, it will not automatically become Kodesh. However, the concern here is, Gzeirish Shem Yoyim L'das Neskachu, people seeing that they're using this water that was left over in the Klisharis overnight, will not realize that when the water was put into Klisharis, it was not put in with intent that it should become Kodesh, and they'll believe that water that was subject to Lina may be used for Nisach HaMayim, which is of course not true. So because of that Gezeira, Chazal said, don't put the water into a Klisharis. And as the Rishonim point out, there's a very fundamental difference between Chizkiah's approach and Ziri's approach. According to Ziri's understanding of the Mishnah, the water, if it were put into Klisharis, would become disqualified by Lina Midoraisa. According to Chizkiah, it's only Gzeir Drabonon, and perhaps if no other water were available, Chizkiah would agree that it may be used. A different approach is Amr Biyane, Amr Bzeira. Afilo Taimi Yeshilamayim. we could say that there is a required amount, how much should be used for Nisach HaMayim. And furthermore, the Klei Shoris Eimekachim El Midas, only if there was an intent that what was put into the Klei Shoris should become Kodesh, does become Kodesh. So if so, why can't we put the water on Erev Shabbos into the Klei Shoris? Just put in more water and don't intend that it should become Kodesh. There's a Gzeira, Shema Yom L'Kiddush Yadayim V'Glayim Molon. People seeing this may assume that when the water was drawn, it was originally drawn for the purpose of Kiddush Yadayim V'Glayim. And this is the way Rashi, according to Aruch HaNer, explains the Gemara, that we know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara Masech, the Yuma teaches us, did not do Kiddush Yadayim V'Glayim out of the Kiyor, because it involved him walking back and forth a lot. Rather, he did Kiddush Yadayim V'Glayim out of the special pitcher of water, Kiton Shalzov, and people will think that it was this water that was used, and they'll make a mistake that water that was Kodesh could become and became subject to Lina may still be used for Nisach HaMayim. That's why Rashi explains the Gemara. The Ritva explains that people will make the error in thinking that water that was subject to Lina may be used for Kiddush Yodayim V'Reglayim. So why from all the water that's in the Azara does Rashi say we may get mixed up and use the water from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So Aruch HaNer explains, normally Kiddush Yodayim V'Reglayim was done from the Kiyor. And water in the Kiyor, the Gemara teaches us, was submerged overnight and was not able to become affected by Lina. However, water that is in the Kiton Shazov, not submerged, could become subject to Lina, and that's why Chazal had to teach us that we should not use this water in order not to make this error. Daruch Liner also asks an interesting question. What will be the halacha if there's no carbon tamid available, but there is water available for Nisach HaMayim? Was Nisach HaMayim only done when there was water with carbon tamid or not? So he says it really depends in the Machloikas Tanoim that we've actually learned what is the source for Nisach HaMayim. According to Bekiva, who learns Nisach HaMayim because the Pasuk says V'nisachea, B'shnei Nesuchim Hakos Medaber Echad Nisach HaMayim V'Esach Nisach HaYayin. So the Pasuk is talking about Nisach HaMayim Nisach HaYayin together. Or another Tana learns it from Hasach Nesach. So just like Nisach HaYayin wouldn't be done without a carbon, so too Nisach HaMayim. However, according to the Shittas that learned there was a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, or we learned it like Rabbi Yehud Mem Seira taught us from extra Mem Yud Mem Nisachel V'Nisachayim, so that's extra Mayim. Therefore, it's not necessarily connected to the carbon, and even if no carbon is available, we could still perhaps do Nisach HaMayim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Nishpecha, if the water spilled out, Oy Nisgalsa, or if the water became exposed, then the halach is we cannot use that water for Nisach HaMayim. Shehayayin v'hamayim megulim, wine or water that become exposed, because as we learned, there was a concern that a snake might have drunk from that water. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, why is water that was exposed immediately disqualified? Why don't we put it through a strainer? And if we'll see that there's venom, so we'll know it was exposed. Otherwise, it was a snake drank from it. Otherwise, we shouldn't be concerned. Should we say our Mishnah is not like Reb Nechemya? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Mesanenes Yesh B'Mishum Gilun. The Tanya Kama holds the water that was exposed, and a snake might have drunk from, there's an issue of Gilui. Even though the strainer may filter out the water, we still shouldn't drink that water. And the way the Mefarshim explained, Chamira Sakanta Miyasura, we're so concerned when there's an issue of Sakana involved, we will not drink this water, even though we don't know if snake drank from it, and even if the snake drank from it, maybe it was filtered out, stay away from the water. However, Rabbi Nechemya disagrees with the Rabbanan. Or Rabbi Nechemya, Amosai, When is the wine prohibited? Bizman shetachtonim megula. They used to have like a double receptacle, a device with two receptacles. So if, says Reb Nechemya, the bottom receptacle is uncovered, then we shouldn't drink that wine. Ah, bizman shetachtonim mechusa. If the bottom receptacle is covered, afa pishal yonim megula. Even though the upper receptacle is uncovered, ein b'mishim gilui. There is no concern for gilui. Neish eres nachash. Because the venom of a snake is like a sponge, it floats upon the surface of the wine and remains in its place, and therefore can be filtered out. So that's why Rabbi Nechemya obviously holds that the wine can be filtered. So ask the Gemara, why does our Mishnah automatically disqualify the water that was left open because it was left open, a snake may have drunk from it, why can't we just filter it? Tosfos in Masechta Baba Kama asks, why does the Braisa have to teach us that if the bottom receptacle is left open, it's subject to Gilui? Of course it is. There's no reason how we could be Mekel. So Tosfos in Masechta Baba Kama answers that since when the water from the upper receptacle goes to the lower receptacle, it drips, and perhaps that would keep the snake away. Tells us Tosfos that the Gemara, the Braisa, is teaching us that we are concerned that maybe it didn't go in a drip fashion with that noise keeping the snake away. Perhaps it went down in one shot, and therefore the bottom receptacle is subject to Gilui. So seemingly our Mishnah that doesn't give us the approach of using a filter doesn't agree with Reb Nechemya. Answers the Gemara field time Reb Nechemya. The Mishnah could go with Reb Nechemya. When did Reb Nechemya say we could rely on a filter? Lehegit. A regular person is worried if a snake drank from the water, filter it and see if there's any snake. Avil Gvoyim Yomar, did he say that it should be used for avoiding the base of Migdash? Lesley Reb Nechemya, would Reb Nechemya not agree with what the Pasuk teaches us in Malachi? Hakriveu Nola Fechasecha, would you bring something like this to your governor? Hayirtzecha Ayisa Panecha Om Hashem Tzavakos, would he accept something from this? And therefore, it's certainly not acceptable. The Ksav Sofer says that although this pasuk of Hakrivanala Fechasecha is not a pasuk in the Torah, it's a pasuk in Navi, and Midoraisa, something like this, may not be used for an avoid in the base of Migdash. The Maram Shik disagrees. He says it's only a Svara, and the Machloikas is if no other water would be available, would such water be acceptable? And according to the Ksav Sofer, it would not be. The Maram Shik says it would be, and the Bi'ar Locha paskins like the Maram Shik. Tiferes Yisrael asks that why doesn't the Gemara bring down the pasuk that says Shomu Tovias Kol Hashem Noichem Tzava Eschem Olaseichem V'Zevcheichem Masreiseichem V'Trum Asiyatchem V'Kol Mifcha Nidareichem Asher Tidru LaHashem. So the pasuk says we should use Mifcha Nidareichem, the best available. So the Tiferes Yisrael says that pasuk teaches us when we have a number of different items to choose from, we should choose the best for what we do and avoid with. But here, where we're only dealing with one, where we only have this water, the pasuk of Mifcha Nedereichem is not applicable. The Chazon Ish asks that how could the Gemara ask that we should use a filter? We're not allowed to use a filter on Yontif. It's Boira. So the Chazon Ish says a very big yesoid, which is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa to us, and that is, he says that the only time there is a boirer is when we know that there is psoilus, when there is something unwanted there. Then we can have a concept of boirer. Here we're not sure that there's any snake venom there, and therefore there is no issue of boirer. This is relevant. Now a lot of people here in New York have filters on their sinks, and the question is, how can they open up their sink for water on Shabbos? Isn't it boirer? The answer is, since, like the Chazon Ish teaches us, we're not for sure certain that there are insects in the water, it's only a suffix, therefore it's not for sure boirer, and it's permitted. The Poskim say, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that anything which is Moss, anything which is not edible, kosher, should not be used for avodas Hashem. That includes if we are lighting a menorah on in shul or in Hanukkah, we should not use this any oil that is not kosher or not nice. There's a very fundamental machloikis Bavli in Yerushalmi in the understanding of this Gemara. The Yerushalmi says the reason that this water that might have been exposed to a snake's venom is disqualified is because the Pasuk says Memashke Yisrael. The only thing that we could use for carbon is something that we could eat ourselves, we Jews. And therefore, since this may not be eaten because it was exposed, Sakona should not be used for Nisach HaMayim. Rashi in the Havamina explained that the reason we're concerned is that the snake might have drunk from this water and therefore diminished the minimum shear of 3 loigim, and therefore it's disqualified. Asks Rabbi Chanan, why doesn't our Gemara agree with the Yerushalmi that says that the issue is Memashke Yisrael? Explains Rabbi Chanan that Pasuk Memashke Yisrael teaches us that what a Jew may eat we could bring to a Mizbeach, otherwise not. But we need to understand, what does that then teach us? Does that then teach us that whatever a Jew can drink or eat can be brought in Mizbeach, otherwise it's automatically disqualified? Or is what the Pasuk teaching us, for the same reason that we may not eat or drink this item, so too may the Mizbeach not eat or drink this item? So that's the machloikas, he says, between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Memashke Yisrael teaches us that if we may not eat it, the Mizbeach may not eat it. And we may not eat it because it's an issue of Sakana. The Bavli, however, holds, we have to look at the reason. The reason is because of Sakana. Sakana is relevant to people. Sakana is not relevant to a Mizbeach. And therefore, the Bavli holds that Memashke Yisrael would not be relevant here. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan uses this machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi to discuss another shaila. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we discussed the shaila, that an esrig which may not be eaten should not be used. That's why the Gemara said that an esrig from Truma to Meya should not be used for Dalad Mina. Says, so the question was asked from Yitzchak B'chanan, what if an esrig was put under someone's bed? And we know that food that's left under a bed should not be eaten. Could one use such an esrog for the mitzvah of dalaminim? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, the fact that Rashi in our Gemara did not say there's an issue of Mamashke Yisrael is a proof that if something is only usur because it's of sakana, that doesn't disqualify it for a mitzvah. And that's why we could use such water for Nisach HaMayim, and we could use such an esrog for Dalaminim. And Yitzchak Chanan says further, even according to the Yerushalmi, that says that if something is disqualified for people, it should not be used for mitzvah, says Yitzchak Chanan, the fact that a food was left under the bed does not make it possible and us to be eaten even by the Eved. It's only the Chatchila should not be eaten, and that's why, says Yitzchak Chanan, by the Eved, such an esrog, certainly, even according to the Yerushalmi, and definitely according to the Bavli, may be used for the mitzvah of Dal Minav. Hanu lach lulav harava, hanu lach lulav harava, hanu lach lulav harava. We discussed already that during Sukkot they had the Simchas Beis Sho'eva. And at the Simchas Beis Sho'eva they played with instruments. Says the Mishnah, Hachalil, the flute, Chamisha v'shisha. Sometimes it was played for 5 days, and sometimes it was played for 6 days, depending on what day the first day of Yontav was. If the first day of Yontav was Shabbos, so in Yisrael there was 6 days of Chol Hamoed after, so on every day of Chol Hamoed they played the flute. If the first day of Yontav was not in Shabbos, so one of the Chol Hamoed days was Shabbos, so they can't play the flute on Chol Hamoed, and therefore they only had the Chalil for 5 days. The Rishonim point out, why does the Mishnah single out the flute from all other instruments? So the Mefarshim explained either that the flute was the most noticeable instrument from all the musical instruments played, or the Tiferes Yisrael explains that they began playing with the flute alone, and then all the other instruments joined, and then when they were about to finish playing the instruments, the last instrument to play was the flute, and therefore it was most noticeable. The Chazon Ish says that even though on Shabbos, as we're learning now, they did not play instruments, they did still sing and dance even the Shabbos of Yontif. This is the chalil of the Beis HaShoeva. Machloikis, Rashi, and the Rambam. Why there was so much extra simcha on Sukkos. Rashi says is because in honor of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Rambam holds that the simcha wasn't because of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It was because of this Yontif of Sukkos. And the Mefarshim explain a proof to the Rambam Shita is because if the Simcha was because of the Sheva, then it should have said Zeh Chalil Shel Sheva. What does it say? Beis HaShoeva? It says at the time when they were doing Sheva, the Yontif, when Sheva was done, there was extra Simcha. But it's not because of the Mayim Shuvim, it's not because of the Nisach HaMayim, it's because of Yontif Sukkos. Shene Doicha, Lois HaShabbos, Lois HaYontif. So as Tosfos points out, the Gemara in Masechet Beya teaches us that why may one not play an instrument in Yontif? Shema Yovel Asakim Klishir. He may come to fix it. Asks Taisvus, it's only a Zayir Drabonin. And we know that Ein Shvus B'Migdash, there are no Issa Drabonins in the base of Migdash. So Taisvus, here in Amen Aleph, answers that because the entire reason that they played these instruments was because of Simcha Yaseira, just for extra Simcha, for that we won't say the klal of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Tosfos in Amud Beis says that since there were many instruments played, they didn't just have one flute, so it's very likely that at least one of them will need to be repaired, and therefore we did not allow it to be played on Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash, even though we say Ein Shvus B'Migdash. In fact, the Mefarshim discuss this whole concept of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. I saw a number of Chidushim. The Mashal says that Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies to Isurei Shabbos, but other Isurim, we don't have this rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Rav Kiva Eger says this rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is only said when one Issa D'Rabbanan is going to be violated. But if two Issuri D'Rabbanan were going to be violated, then this rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash doesn't apply. And the Rivash says a very big Chiddush. The Rivash says, as we said previously in our Shiurim, there are the two types of D'Rabbanans. There are D'Rabbanans that Chazal made a Gzeira in order not to come to violate an Issa D'Raisa. And there are other D'Rabbanans which are independent new Dinim D'Rabbanan. Says the Rivash, that the only time we have a klal of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, that's under Rabbanan, which is made to protect that one shouldn't violate a deraisa. So since we're in the base of Migdash, and we know Kohanim Zerizim Haim, so we don't have to be concerned that they will violate a deraisa. However, when we have a new independent Takana de Rabbanan, on that we will not say Ein Shvus B'Migdash. And there's also an interesting discussion in the Paiskim based on our Mishnah regarding certain aspects of Cholamoy. The Shulchan Aruch says, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Nusach HaTfilah by Musaf on Yontif and Cholamoy is different. On Yontif, the Shulchan Aruch says, we say, Es Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh Hazeh. And in Cholamoy, we don't use the word Yontif, we say, Es Yom Mikra Kodesh Hazeh. The Ramah says that we don't say not Yontif and not Mikra Kodesh, not on Yontif and not on Chalamoid. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Taz and the Magen Avraham that say that both on Chalamoid and on Yontif we say Mikra Kodesh. We always say Mikra Kodesh and we never say Yontif. The question that's discussed is on Chalamoid, do we say, when we bench, HaRachman HaYachilenu Yom Shekula Toiv, the Rachman that we say by benching? The Taz and Magen Avraham say that Chol HaMoed is not considered Yontif, and they actually have a proof from our Mishnah, because we see that Chol HaMoed is different than Yontif, and therefore we should not say HaRachmon Hu Yachalenu Yom Shekulo Toiv Chol HaMoed. However, the Rishonim, the Rajba, and the Ritva both say that Chol HaMoed is considered Yontif, and the proof being that we're only allowed to do Melacha for Dover or Oved, only certain circumstances may Melacha be done, and therefore they say that we should say that Rachman and Yachalenu Yom Shekulo Toiv. The Shaul Sechuvus Shari Ephraim, based on our Mishnah, says that on Chol HaMoed one may not play a musical instrument, because he says that our Mishnah is saying that on Yontif there's a Chol HaMoed they were allowed to play for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Seemingly the Mishnah is teaching us for any other reason we would not be allowed to play a musical instrument on Chol HaMoed. However, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Shaul Sechuvus Shvus Yankov, and so is the position on many other Paiskim, that one may play a musical instrument on Chol HaMoed. Itma, says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda in a Gemara, and a Meiris taught us, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Eina, Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda Rav Eina, Chatani Sheva, one says that the proper Girsa in our Mishnah is Sheva, Vachatani Shuva, and the other one says the proper Girsa is Sheuva. Omma Zutra, comments of Zutra, man the Tani Sheva Lai Mishtabish, the Girsa that says Sheva is not making an error, or man the Tani Cheshuva Lai Mishtabish, and the Girsa that has Cheshuvish, that was a significant, important celebration, is not a mistake. Man the Tani Sheva Lai Mishtabish, the Ksiv, was Shafta Maim Besosin. So we see that Simcha is associated with the Shivas Hamayim and the Nisach Hamayim. And the one that has the gears of Cheshuvish is not making an error. The Amar Rav Mitzvah Cheshuvihi, it's a very important mitzvah. Ubo Mesheshish Meibreshis, that's here from creation. Tosfos quotes to Yushalmi that says that what does Shafta Mayim B'Sosin, what does the Simchas HaShoeva represent? Shmishom Shoyavim Ruach HaKodesh, that from there we have Ruach HaKodesh for the whole year, Shashchina Shoyim Taim Simcha. And therefore, it's very important mitzvah, and therefore it's called Shoeva. The Mefarshim explain, why is Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi? They say because Tosfos is bothered with the question that if according to Rashi, as we said in the Mishnah, the Simcha of the Nisach HaMayim, the Simcha of that we experienced by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is because of the Nisach HaMayim, so it should have been called Simchas HaShoeva. Why is it called Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So Tosfos is telling us, the Yerushalmi is teaching us, that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's the house, it's the home from which emanates Ruach HaKodesh. The Sfas Emes discusses, the Gemara here says that it's important Simcha going back to creation. Why going back to creation? Because as we learned in the previous year, they had these drains, these holes at the bottom of the Mizbeach, where the water or the wine that they poured would go when they did Nisach HaMayim or Nisach HaYayim. Asks the Sfas Emes, Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin were done every day. They did every Nisach HaYayin by every carbon. Not Nisach HaMayim, but Nisach HaYayin was done every day. So why do we just celebrate this specifically now on Sukkos? So Sfas Emes explains that Nisach HaMayim represents that on Sukkos, Nidoinin Alamayim, we're judged for water, which is the most basic food item we need to sustain ourselves all year. And therefore, and everybody is affected by it, Jews and non-Jews, the entire world. So since it's such an important element, that's why it's called Mitzvah Cheshuva, and it's specially noted more than the Nisach HaYayin, which were only done by Kabbonis, brought for specific reasons. Another answer the Sfas Emes gives, that the Medrash says that in Parshas Bereishis, the Torah teaches us the Mayim HaTachtoinim, the water, the Pasuk says, V'yavdel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated ben HaMayim HaTachtoinim, between the water below the Rikia and the water above the Rikia. And the water that was left below the Rikia came to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anon bi'inan lahevi kave malka. We want to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, just like the Mayim Hel Yoinim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, don't worry, you'll have an opportunity to be brought on the Mizbeach. When? By Nisach HaMayim. Says the Sfasemis. Beautiful. From Sheshesh Mea Bereshis, the water has been waiting that we want to be on the Mizbeach. And now Sukkos is that their opportunity to be used for Avodas Hashem. That's why it's a mitzvah chshuva. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in the Braisa, HaChalil, playing the flute, Doiches HaShabbos, it overrides Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So holds Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. V'chomayimrim af Yontif en Adoicha. It doesn't even override Yontif. Explains Rabbi Yosef the Machlaikis. Am Rabbi Yosef. Machlaikis b'shir shal kabon. It's talking about when the carbon was brought. Rabbi Yosef Sover, according to Rabbi Yosef, ikishir b'keli, when a carbon was brought, the pasuk teaches us v'sheiris b'shem Hashem Elokov, that it had to be accompanied with singing, and the way main way singing was accomplished was with instruments, and that's why it's an avodahi v'doicha es haShabbos. However, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold ikashir b'peh, the main way singing was accomplished was with singing vocal, not with its instruments. Therefore, lava voidehi v'ene doiches haShabbos, and it doesn't override Shabbos. Avol shir shel sheva, the singing by sheva, that everybody agrees. The v'hakol simchahi, it's only there because of simcha, and because it's only there because of simcha, ene doiches es haShabbos. The chikrei leiv points out that even the man the omer that holds that ikashira b'keli will agree that we have to have peh. But he holds that besides for having peh, we also have to have keli. Rashi points out that regarding which days are we speaking that the chalil is doich Shabbos, so Rashi says it's referring to 12 days of the year. 8 days of Sukkos, the first day of Pesach, 1 day of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuos, and Erev Pesach, and Pesach Sheni. So Maram discusses why does Rashi speak only about those 8 days, those 12 days? So the Maram says two answers. One answer he says is that it's not really those 12 days only. Rashi's just using those 12 days as an example. Others say that those 12 days there was an extra level of simcha, and the Aruch Lener takes even a step further. The Aruch Lener says that on those 12 days, the shir wasn't just done on the duchen, on the special platform where shir was done. Rather, on those 12 days, says the Aruch Lener, the shir was done on next to the Mizbeach. And still, the Gemara is teaching us, it's a machloikis if it was or was not doicha Shabbos. If it was or was not doicha Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Menon Minon Abaha Pligi, how do I know that this is the subject of the machloikis? If ikashir b'keli or ikashir b'peh, says the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, klishar shoshen shalates. If somebody made a klisharis out of wood, usually a klisharis should be made out of a metal. Rebbe says it's posel. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda machshon. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's kosher. My lab, Balkanovsky. What is the machloikis? Man the machshir. The one that says it's kosher, Sovet Ikesher Bekeli. He holds that way shear is done is with a vessel. V'yalfinema vuva de Moshe. And we can learn from the flute that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan, which was made out of wood, because Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechta Erchin, where a king wanted to have the flute gold plated, and it was plated with gold and was no longer usable. So we say it was made out of wood. So if we hold that that the ikashir is bekeli, so the flute that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu was a kli sharis, and we see that a keli sharis may be made out of metal. As to Rishash, they didn't only use a flute, perhaps they used other instruments that were kli matches, says the Rosh Hashanah, that we have to learn that in the 12 days, and this goes back to the question that the Maram asks, what's unique about the 12 days that Rashi points out, says the Maram, during those 12 days, they only used a flute. And that's an answer to why the Mishnah also only mentioned the flute. A man of puzzle, the one that says that a klisharis made out of metal is not kosher, he holds ikashir bepeh. So the fact that there was a wooden utensil, a flute, doesn't mean anything, because lo yalpinim abuva de Moshe, we don't learn from the flute of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara loy, that isn't true. The kula alma ikka shir bekeli. It could be, this approach is not necessarily shot in that machlokes. Everybody could agree that shir is accomplished with an instrument. The question here is, for hocha bedonin efshemishi efshekimufki. The machlokes here is, can we derive a possibility from an inner possibility? That means, the flute that was used in the Mishkan had to be made out of wood, as we just explained. Man de machsher, sovet donin efshemishi efshe. The one that says that we can use wooden vessels, Rav Yosef Yehuda, says that we could derive, even though other vessels can be made out of metal, that doesn't change that we shouldn't learn it from the vessel of Moshe Rabbeinu, if that was wood, or vessels may be wood. That vessel had to be made out of wood, otherwise it wouldn't be usable. Other vessels that could be made out of metal must be made out of metal and cannot be made out of any other material. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining this machlokes is the kula alma d'ikashir bepeh. Everybody agrees that the way we should have shira is vocal. And everybody will agree, vein don efsh mishi efshir. We can't learn something from possible from impossible. That vessel had to be made out of wood, otherwise it wouldn't be usable. That doesn't prove to another vessel. For hocha, the machlokes here is, b'nail of menorah. The issue here is, as the Sfasemis explains, should we learn from the menorah, which was made strictly out of gold, as the Pasuk teaches us, and we'll learn in a moment, or should we learn from the wooden flute? Now, Sfasema says, even though we have a rule throughout Shas, that when we have an opportunity to learn L'kula L'chumra, we learn L'chumra, says the Sfasema, here, learning from the Menorah is not a perfect derivation. Because the Menorah was inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Mishkan, whereas these klisharos were used outside from the actual Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan, and therefore, maybe even though the Menorah is L'chumra, we should learn from the Menorah. What is the Machlokes? Says the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi explains it, is that there's a Machlokes Tanoim throughout Shas, how to learn a certain set of psukim. Do we learn it with a klal or prado klal, or do we learn it with a ribui mit or ribui? If we learn it with a klal or prado klal, the klal first teaches us a general rule. The prat, the detail mentioned afterward, limits the rule, and we have a klal afterwards, ein b'chlal el mash b'frat, and the rule is very limited. Which is actually the way Rabbi Shmuel learns, those that say Kabbonis, no, Rabbi Shmuel learns Klal Uprat Uklal, Ein Bechlal, Elamash Befrat. However, other Tanoim learn with a Ribi Miet Ribui, and a Ribi Miet Ribui, even though the Miet does exclude and limit the rule, it does it in a much more limited way. V'hoch M'nei V'noira B'klal Uprati, V'Ribi Miet Kamifligi. Machlek, should we learn a Klal Uprat, or should we learn a Ribi Miet? Rebbe darsh klali prati. Rebbe learns a klali prat. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda darsh ribi meyuti. And the Gemara explains. Rebbe darsh klali prat. Vasis menorah klal. First the Torah makes a general rule. Make a menorah. Zov tar has to be made out of pure gold. Prat is a specification. Mikshe tiyasa menorah chos v'klal. Klal pratu klal. Iyata don elkan prat has to be exactly similar to the specification. It has to be strictly made out of a metal. Afkol, any vessel used in the Beis HaMikdash has to be made out of metal. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, Dor Shubi Miyuti. The Soysa Menorah Riba. It's coming to say all types of materials may be used for menorah. Zov tar miyit, said it has to be pure gold. Mikshatiyasa menorah chazav riba, again is a general rule. Riba miyit riba, riba kol includes everything. My rabbi, rabbi kamili, everything is permitted, including wood. My miyit, what does it exclude? It only excludes one type of material, miyat shalcheris, and includes earthenware, as the Rishonim explained, given that earthenware is the least significant type of material, so therefore, earthenware is certainly not acceptable, everything else is acceptable. Say the Paiskim, from here we see that everybody agrees, no matter whichever way we learn, that you're not allowed to use earthenware. Earthenware cannot be used for klisharis. So there's a halacha that we're not allowed to make vessels similar to the vessels used in the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. We're not allowed to make models that are identical to what was used in the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. But certainly if we would make it out of earthenware, since earthenware under all circumstances is unacceptable for use in the Beis Hamikdash, we can make earthenware models of the kelim that were used in the Beis Hamikdash and Mishkan.